Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Andrea Bernstein, filling in for Brian Lehrer. You ready for the Sweet 16? Nope, not that one. The one I'm planning to curl up with this weekend with a bowl of popcorn involves UConn and Rutgers and Stanford and a whole bunch of women. It's become a whole lot easier to watch women's basketball on TV, but hey, you still have to turn to Channel 170 instead of Channel 2. And when the president fills out a women's bracket, I will fall off my chair. Joining me to discuss women's basketball is the woman who probably did more to get attention for this sport than any player in history, former UConn player, NY Liberty starter, and now ESPN analyst and reporter Rebecca Lobo. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrea.
So let's talk about women's basketball. There was a time shortly after I think you won something like 65 games in a row and the WNBA started that it seemed like the sky was the limit in terms of the growth of interest in the sport and in the media interest. But now maybe it's leveled off. Do you think that's true? And if so, why is that?
Well, it's hard to say. I think it's just the culture of sports right now, where you have so many different sports, so many channels, a lot of access to X Games or whatever it is. And I think it's happening across the board. I think women's basketball is still growing, but it, you know, from 1994 until 2004, the growth was tremendous, and it may have slowed down since that boom, but I think it is still a growing sport.
You work at ESPN. The network really does a lot. Do you think it does enough to promote the sport?
I think it does a tremendous amount. I can remember, you know, being a girl in maybe the mid-'80s, and the only games, women's basketball games, you could see on TV was a national championship game, and it was tape delayed. It wasn't.
Yeah, I remember that, too. It used to be on at like 6 in the morning or something, right?
and still, as a young girl who loved basketball, it was such a big deal to me to be able to watch these women play. And then when I was playing, CBS covered the game, but they covered the Final Four. They didn't cover most of the games leading up to that. So ESPN does a tremendous job covering all of the games in the NCAA tournament. We have the big Monday game of the week, January, February, March, once a week in prime time. They've got a women's game on ESPN, too. So I think ESPN has really done a great job of showcasing these great athletes and their stories.
Now, what about the rest of the media? Does it frustrate you at all that you sort of have to page through, you know, all the news about the men's bracket to sort of, you know, then find out what happened in the women's games the night before?
Well, you know, I kind of live in a women's basketball bubble in certain ways because I live in Connecticut, and they do such a great job in this state covering the women. You know, they'll put the women on the front page on the same day, the day after the men have played, if the women's game was a bigger game. But the other day when I was driving down to Rutgers to cover the first two rounds of the tournament, and I'm listening to more New York radio stations, and there wasn't even any acknowledgement that there had been women's games, no scores or anything being
broadcast.
Gosh,
that better not have been us.
Fortunately, it was not. So that can be frustrating when I go to different parts of the country and realize, in covering games, realize that in a lot of places the women still have a very, very long way to go.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, AM and FM, and WNYC.org. I'm Andrea Bernstein, filling in for Brian, and we can take some calls for Rebecca Lobo. Are you following the NCAA tournament like me? What do you like about the women's game? Did you fill out a women's bracket? You know, I might have filled out a women's bracket, but the problem is that I don't think I had enough companionship in that. Maybe I should have looked online or something like that. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, how's ESPN doing? I mean, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're sort of seeing, you know, just yesterday, the New York Times said it was going to be, you know, furloughing employees and that there would be layoffs and, you know, everybody's cutting back. I mean, you know, sort of all of the journalism field is kind of, you know, the business model is collapsing, and I'm wondering if you think that women's sports coverage is particularly vulnerable.
You know, I hope not. You know, I'm not really privy to everything that's happening on the business side at ESPN, but I know that they are very committed to their coverage of both the NCAA tournament on the women's side and the WNBA. This summer is going to be the first time that in the history of the WNBA that rights fees are being paid to the league to broadcast the women's game. So I think there's a commitment there on the part of ESPN for women's sports. But, you know, in this economic climate, I'm sure, like everyone else, there are some difficulties that are going along with that.
Is that right? I didn't know that about the WNBA. They're actually playing rights for the the game now?
Yep.
Wow.
It happened in the negotiations last year, but I think it kicks in this season is the first time that's happening. So that is great news for the WNBA.
I think that there were some rumors that the WNBA might have to fold. That would suggest the opposite. How do you think the WNBA is doing?
You know, I think those rumors have been out there since the league started in 1997, and of course, you know, again, in this economy, people are worried about some of the professional sports leagues that aren't on the level of the NFL or the NBA, and the WNBA being one of them. But, you know, plans right now are for the draft to happen on April 9th, the day, 2 days after the WNBA after the NCAA championship game, and for the season to be a go. So, you know, I would be very surprised if we didn't have a WNBA this summer.
My guest is ESPN analyst and reporter and former basketball star Rebecca Lobo. Now let's talk just a little bit, and then we'll take some phone calls at 212-433-9692. But let's talk about this season. Kind of shocking to see Tennessee out of it, a little disorienting, don't you think?
Very much so. This is the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament where they haven't been in at least the Sweet 16. They were a 5 seed this year, which is the lowest that they've ever been. And it's because they have so many freshmen on their team. And they're the 2-time defending champion, but they graduated all of their starters, and so it was surprising to see them have such an early exit. But at the same time,
I don't know if I can pass a march without Pat Summitt. It's going to feel
well,
too,
you know,
bizarre.
You're not going to have to do that. I think this is a one-time thing because as their younger players mature, they're very, very talented, and I think they'll be back in a big way next season.
And what about you know, UConn obviously is doing very well. Rutgers, what do you think those teams' chances are?
Well, UConn right now is undefeated, and it would be a major, major upset if they did not win the whole thing. They have a fantastic team. Maya Moore is only a sophomore, but she is the best player in the country in women's basketball. And then, you know, around your area, Rutgers is the team that I covered in the first two rounds of the tournament, and they struggled early on this season. They're a similar situation to Tennessee that they have a lot of freshmen, but they've really, really come along strong the past few weeks of the regular season and then into this NCAA tournament, and Rutgers really has a terrific chance to make it to another Final Four.
My guest is basketball star, ESPN analyst and reporter Rebecca Lobo. We're talking about the women's March Madness, of which I am fully in the throes of. You know, it's interesting when I watch Rutgers, and they obviously have an African-American woman coach. And one of the things, you know, that is a little disorienting about women's basketball, so many African-American players, so few African-American coaches. Do you think that there's an awareness of that that's an issue in the league?
I think it's an awareness within women's college basketball. This past season when I was working at ESPN, Carolyn Peck was the color analyst and I was the sideline reporter, and she's an African-American woman who was a college coach for a lot of years. And I think before this past season, there was only like 9 head coaches at the Division I level that were African-American women, and it's something that that is being talked about and being focused on, and there were quite a few hires before this past season of African-American women, and that's a very, very good sign within women's basketball.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to Malachi McCourt from Manhattan. Hi, Malachi. Thanks for calling in.
Hello, Andrea.
So nice to talk to you.
And yourself, as always.
Are you a women's basketball fan? I had no idea.
Well, I had. Here's what happened with me, and your guest, Rebecca, is wonderful. About a year and a half ago, I did a movie with Ellen Burstyn about a college called Immaculata in Philadelphia, a women's basketball team there. They, against all the odds, won the national championship, 1974 and 1975. And it was one of those extraordinary sort of Cinderella stories and all of that. And because now the perception, of course, is that they did that basketball story about in the school in Indianapolis, I think. But there's not much interest because apparently there's the perception that nobody would be interested in this extraordinary story of these young women coming from nowhere and winning the National Basketball Championship. And I'm absolutely astounded because it's, to me anyway, a beautiful film. And those young women that played, the one that did it, and the ones that played the ones who did it are quite amazing young people.
Rebecca Lobo, does that astound you?
You know, it does. There's so many great stories in women's basketball, and I know the story a little bit of the Immaculata women. They had some great coaches come out of that team. Teresa Grentz, who was the coach at Rutgers before Coach Stringer, and Renee Portland, who was at Penn State for a lot of years, played on that team. Marianne Stanley, who is an assistant coach now in the WNBA with the LA Sparks, were all members of that team. You know, it's a story that I think a lot of people would like to hear. And you know, that's one of the things that's great about ESPN now showing all of these women's games during the tournament. And myself as a sideline reporter, my job now is to tell some of these stories. You know, there's a player for Texas A&M. Her name is Takiya Starks, who is one of the better guards in the country. And her father right now is battling lymphoma. But he will make the trip from Texas to Trenton this weekend to watch his daughter play and perhaps her last college games. There are so many great stories. It doesn't matter if it's a man playing the game or a woman playing the game. And I think there's an audience for those. And I, for one, would love to see that movie about the Immaculata team because it's a great story. I think sometimes people just need to get past the bastion of male, you know, superiority in sports and understand that women can not only play the games really well but have great stories to tell.
And it's kind of shocking that that's not apparent from your own efforts as well as others. Let's take some other calls. Chris, hi, from New Brunswick, New Jersey. Thanks for calling, and thanks, Maliki, for your call.
Oh, thank you. I just want to say I'm a fan, not a huge basketball fan to start with, but if I watch basketball, it's going to be women's versus the NBA or...
Now, why is that, Chris? What is it you like about the women's game?
I think it's basketball. I think it's more exciting to watch the game. The women seem to be able to control the ball better, and it's not a bunch of people slam dunking and taking three-point shots.
You know, I think it's better, too. I know that there are some people that like the showmanship with emphasis on the man and in the men's game, but I just think the women's game, it's so smart. It's like watching a chess game.
When we lived near Rutgers, we would often just find out that the women were playing and would run up and go watch them play. I got in to see them play Connecticut one time. And it was very frustrating to me when I was really turned on by this that I would have to actually almost go to the Rutgers website to find out how the women's team was doing, even though they were tearing up the courts. You know, you go to any sports radio or just regular news radio in New York City and never hear about Rutgers women. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, Chris. Rebecca Lobo, we just Lobo. I'll get this. You see, I'm tongue-tied from, I'm so starstruck. My guest is Rebecca Lobo, basketball star, former New York Liberty player, and now an analyst and reporter for ESPN. The Sweet 16 is coming on this weekend. Rebecca, I have a soft spot for Stanford. I spent a year out there a couple years ago. I went to watch all their games. They last year, of course, went to the final game. Candace Wiggins is now gone. How do you think they're going to do this year?
Tremendously well. I think I have them picked to go to the Final Four out of the Berkeley region. Stanford's a really, really good team. They made it to the championship game last year. They've got two of my favorite post players, and Kayla Peterson and Jane Appel, kids who can really pass the basketball and also score inside. They've got a tall, long lineup from the guards to the posts. You know, they're the last team to beat UConn because they beat UConn in last year's semifinal of the Final Four. So Stanford is a team that
that
could really do some things.
We've got Stanford. We've got UConn going all the way. Who else do you put in the Final Four for anybody that still wants to do their office bets on women's basketball?
Well, I think the favorite in the Raleigh region is Maryland. for most people. I kind of like Louisville. It's a team that has a terrific player named Angel McCautry, who could be the number one pick in the WNBA draft that is leading them. And then Oklahoma or Rutgers out of the other region are the two teams.
Okay. Well, if you want to do your Final Four, those are the tips from Rebecca Lobo on who she's watching. Sports journalist, basketball star, in some ways a founder of professional women's basketball in the United States. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.